Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
So our question tonight is, where would you go to Airbnb in an iconic location from like TV or movies? Steve from the 920 says, I could tell the Bucks game is over because now everybody's starting to text. As a young kid, I would have spent a weekend with Opie on the Andy Griffith Show as a young teenager, the Brady Bunch as a 21-year-old, Baywatch, and as an older adult playing Kramer's dad on Seinfeld. As you know, they never talked about Kramer's family, only Jerry's and George's. That's true, Steve, except they did reference Kramer's mom from time to time. Babs Kramer was her name. And it's not often, but they do mention her. But those are all great places. I think everybody like thinks about the Andy Griffith Show. That was kind of before my time, but it does look heavenly when they do the opening credits and they're walking with their fishing poles. It's like kind of what everybody thinks America is, right?
Mayberry would be a good spot.
Yeah.
I like that.
But the Brady Bunch house too. That's good. That's a good one.
For sure.
No one's going to argue with Baywatch.
No.
Conrad, you're Joey and Chandler. You could watch Baywatch with those guys.
Exactly.
I love that show. So that's great, though, Steve. Thank you for weighing in on that. And the Bucks lost, I guess.
Yeah. It's too bad. I must have been bad luck bringing back the Andrew Bogut 05 jersey today. So
I'll take the heat on that one. Motorcycle, though, man. You're playing up the image. That fits for rap or rock and roll right outside the window.
Yeah. I got the VIP parking and everything.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
We knew you were coming, and they're not charging you at this hour either.
So that's nice too.
So, you know, we were talking about recording, and you said when you go in there and your time is valuable. Did you ever see the movie Once?
I don't think I have.
It's set in Ireland, and I forget the name of the actor, but he plays a guitar and he sings and he's trying to get his music going. And his dad, I think, fixes vacuum cleaners or something like that in this little town in Ireland. And it's just a sweet story. And he connects with this piano player and they make music together. He finally gets enough money to go in and record his song. And they're in the studio and the guy, the engineer, is going through the motions. He took the money, like whatever. He sets the board up.
Yeah.
And then he just leans back with the newspaper like he couldn't care less. So they're playing this song. And there's a very subtle moment where the guy looks from behind the paper and he just goes, and he starts caring more because he likes what they're doing.
Right.
Just a great, very beautiful, subtle moment in the movie Once.
I like that.
I recommend it.
Because that's a real thing. I can only imagine some of the artists that these guys got to put up with that.
Oh, right. You know,
they can afford it, right? But they get in there and it's like, oh boy, what are we going to do with these vocals?
Right. So, Matt Harper is my guest. He is a local musician here in Northeast Wisconsin. Matt, what is your favorite part from when you get an idea, a germ for a song idea to the final, when it's done and you can actually send it to people, show it to people?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the process?
I love so much of it, but if I got to narrow it down, I definitely think my favorite part is when we start vocal tracking, because that's when the song really starts alive. So when you're adding the vocals over the instruments, I love starting to hear it back for the first time, because I've already sung it out loud to myself and it sounds completely different, but you hear it recorded. And then usually, you know, with the team that I record with, you know, they're throwing in like, hey, try to sing it this way, or maybe do the delivery like this, or instead of this timing, try to sing it in this timing.
Yeah.
And that stuff is just so fun to me, because all of a sudden it becomes like a completely different song than I heard in my head originally.
Right.
But my other favorite part is definitely when you write like the chorus part of it and you're like, okay, I like where this is, because I usually start there. Like I get the chorus part down and then kind of fill in the verses around it. Like I get the idea of the song, I go there and then back. So then, you know, you kind of see the song build that way too. I guess maybe it's a little bit of my mindset from being in the construction trades my whole life, but you get to see the building come out of the ground. And this is kind of like you get to see the song come out of the ground as you work from point A to point B.
Or in the movie business, they say you give birth when you get a movie made, and it's like, really interesting. So I totally lost my train of thought because I was trying to think of a joke for when you said construction.
Yeah.
And I got sidetracked. That's how my ADD is.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
So
I live in one big joke every day.
So you're going to do another song for us?
Absolutely.
All right. What's this? this one called?
So this song is called Burn It. I actually wrote this one. The inspiration was I heard we kind of put the music together and it reminded me of something we would have played like before a high school football game, like on our warm up mix. So the lyrics are a lot about, you know, I pictured myself walking into, you know, we're the away team, you know, walking into a hostile crowd, yeah, like a rivalry game, like Appleton East, Appleton West thing back in when I played. And, you know, everybody's booing, everybody wants you to do bad. And it's like, we're going to show up. We're going to give them everything we have. We're going to burn this whole place to the ground. So
love it. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is Matt Harper, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the studio here on Nightlight.
Okay, it's like a hit squad. They drawing down on us. Yeah, we're the bad guys. We're just so villainous. They wanna point us out. Oh yeah, I call that bluff. I come to level up. Not done until the war is won. We over hatred is wasted. Just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up, show them who we are now. Light them up, light them up, light them up, burn this whole place down, scorched earth. What is this victory worth? Man, this is nothing new. I've been underrated since birth. It's like a curse. The weight, it only gets worse. The more hate they bring, the more venom in the verse. So who wanna step first? Lay down in the dirt. It's a hard lesson learned. All these bridges that I burn, all these stones that I turn, I never been concerned. Cause I worked and I earned to get what I deserve. Hit them first, it's wasted. Just face it, we made it. Don't overcomplicate it. We don't break, we just take it. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. All the hell that you give is all the hell that we live. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have I done? What the hell have I done now? What have I done to wear so many scars? Till the last drop of blood, we show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Show them who we are now. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Light them up, burn it down. Burn this whole place down.
Burn this whole place to the ground. Burn this whole place to the ground. Burn this whole place to the ground.
We burn it to the ground. What have I done to wear so many scars? What have
Man, your high school football games were intense.
we thought we were pretty intense. We didn't win a lot of games, but we rocked out before.
Oh, man, that's great. And it's hard. I just want to tell people, like, it is hard. Like, you're sitting down. Yeah. This isn't like a live
that's
performance.
That's unnatural. Like, I've never done either one of those songs sitting down before.
It's impressive.
Like,
I don't know
what to do with my hands, you know? It's like,
it's great. So when you go in to produce something, Matt, and this is something I didn't know before a few years ago. I was listening to Butch Vig talk, and he said when artists used to come in, when he was a student at Madison, before they did like all the Nevermind albums and all that,
sure,
people would come in, and he would say, if you want it that way, you're ruining your record.
Wow.
Like, a guy comes in with a song or a girl comes in and he's saying, don't do it like that. And he would put his spin on it and it would be a hit.
Yeah.
That's what a producer can do.
100%. Like,
you made this great song.
Yep.
But how do they elevate it? How do they know how to elevate it? What do they do?
You got to find people like the best guy. I'm fortunate enough to have two really good guys. I have Miko Marhol of Walkies with Ghost Mob Entertainment. I have Dave Patella from Source Track Studios in Appleton, actually. They're both just fantastic. They work with artists of different backgrounds. They've been around the music industry for a long time. They know what a good record sounds like and what a bad record sounds like. And they just have this ability that I don't have at all. Like, I come there, I've got ideas, I've got this music, you know, they're like, just sing the song all the way through for me, let me hear it. And to your point, they're like, yep, I would change the delivery in that first verse. Mm. You know, you're coming in really hot, really loud. Let's tone that down a little bit. How about we add in, you know, an ad lib here, we add in some layers, or I actually just did on my latest song, some harmonies, which I've never done before in my life. So he's like, I just think this chorus will sound so much better with a little bit low end harmony with it. And it their brain just works differently. It's the only way I can really explain it. They hear something that nobody else can hear. Even when we're going through the mixing and mastering phase, the stuff that they pick out, I'm like, I would have never ever heard that. And I'm pretty picky and hard on myself too when we're in that process, but they're, you know, this volume just needs to go up, you know, like one decibel and it'll make the whole song.
Isn't
that
crazy?
It's nuts.
And the hardest thing is the writing of the song, like coming up with actual material.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
honestly, for me, the lyrics have just always come really easy. I've just always had an easy time with that. Where I struggle the most is probably like with melodies and with just certain deliveries, and especially with trying to blend two different kinds of music together. You know, like even just the last song I did, Burn It, it's got, you know, really like trap, southern rap type feel to the verses, but then it's like a metal song in the chorus.
Right.
So you're trying to not make it sound like you just copied and pasted two completely different songs together that don't mesh. So, you know, that part can be difficult for sure at times.
We have about 30 seconds left. Where can people see your stuff?
So my website is mattharpermusic.com. I'm on all the streaming platforms. So just look up Matt Harper on your favorite streaming service. I'm on all of them. Instagram is at mharpermusic, Facebook, Matt Harper. So probably the easiest place to find me.
Very cool. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. I really do. So
that's Matt Harper. Check out his stuff. All the places he just told you, he is out there, and you can see him soon too and look for his stuff to come out. Great stuff. When we come back, Rich Williams, comedian, writer, and comedy star, will be here on Nightlight. That's coming up next. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Superhero Day. If you didn't know, the music should tip it off. National Superhero Day. And we're trying to find out who your favorite superheroes are and why. You know what? Let's open this up. You don't even have to guess a Marvel or a DC Comics guy either. You got a superhero in your life, you can share it, even if it's not someone we've heard of. Could be the busted pencil guys. I don't know. Robert checking in says, I'm not easily creeped out, and I don't watch reality TV. He thinks it's creepy. Oh my gosh. And then he put a little emoji that I don't know how to explain. He also says, Deadpool in the comics and movies. I haven't gotten much of a reason why. Maybe the suit. I have not seen the Deadpool movies, so I'm kind of late to the party on Deadpool. I don't have much of an excuse, but I'm with you on the reality. My only issue with reality TV is it's not realistic. It's a way to circumvent paying writers union wages. They tell people what to do most of the time. They set up scenarios. They basically write the scenes out and get people who aren't actors to act it out and call it reality TV. And I think I'm generalizing, but there are some shows that are more realistic than others. So I don't want to say all of them are like that, but a good number of them are. So I'm with you on that one, Robert. This is Jerry Seinfeld's birthday. Luke, did you watch Seinfeld?
I watched reruns of Seinfeld. Yeah. I don't want to date anybody, but I was very young. I was not watching Seinfeld. I was not the core demographic when it was on the air.
Look, I'm in my really extremely late 20s, and I still managed to watch Seinfeld, Luke.
You did.
I'm not saying.
No, the congratulations. you were able to get past your parents and the parental locks and the TV and stuff then. That's awesome.
Yeah, I knew all the tricks. Jerry Seinfeld turns 69 today, and I cannot believe his show has already been off the air, Seinfeld, of course, I'm talking about, for 27 years. And it's still, in my opinion, probably the best show on network TV in terms of at least sitcom. But I thought, you know, we talk about Seinfeld quite a bit on this show because there's a lot of Seinfeld fans out there. I've had Don Rosen on from the WRJN morning show, who I called Jerry Seinfeld's best friend. They weren't best friends, but they grew up together to a certain age. And we talk about the show a lot. But now I've prepared a couple clips because I think we should just hear Jerry stand up and what kind of put him on the map. So on Jerry Seinfeld's 69th birthday, here's a little bit of stand-up from The Tonight Show.
I don't know what I'm getting in the supermarket. I read the ingredients. What? Have you seen may contain one or more of the following? There's some helpful information. What if it's important to you? What if you have diabetes? Does it have sugar? Maybe. We're not saying. Food, you can't think about food. It doesn't make any sense. McDonald's. What is with McDonald's? What is, anybody got a late tally on the McDonald's sign? 50 billion, 60 billion? Put up a, who cares? Put up McDonald's. We're doing very well. Make the sign. We're doing well. Okay? I don't need to know about every burger. Why do they count, past 60 billion? Is there any point in continuing to count? What is their ultimate goal? Do they want cows surrendering voluntarily, perhaps? Cows just come up to the door. We'd like to turn ourselves in. We see the sign. We know we have no chance. Slap the cuffs on. We want to be McDLT. But that's what's great about food. You see, you get that break. One part of your day, three parts, whatever, you get that little break. I like that break. Shower is my other favorite break in the normal day. 10 minutes, people can't find you. They can't buy that. They don't know where you are. When you're in the shower, it's a great moment. You're in your house. People don't know where you are. They can't find you. If the phone rings, other people have to pick it up. No, we can't reach him. He's in the shower. No, he's 5 feet away. We can't communicate. We can't get a message. No one can do anything at this time. All we know is he's in there somewhere. Then you get out of the shower. I can't talk now. I just got out. I was naked, singing, rubbing myself all over. I have to readjust to reality here.
That's Jerry Seinfeld. Luke, I'm going to date myself here. Do you know what a McDLT is?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do, but only because I forget if it was a clip that Jason Alexander did for joking about it. Like it refreshed after the fact. There's been a whole, like, as somebody that didn't watch Seinfeld while I was on the air, there's still a lot of content out there to learn about Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things where Jason Alexander was kind of like, I regret doing that, I believe is what he said. Or he had some kind of interview that he talked about his experience being the face of the DLT, right?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I don't remember that. Okay.
It's the lettuce and the tomato on one side, right? To keep it fresh or whatever?
Yeah, and I think it was basically like sirloin.
Okay.
You know, it was just a leaner cut of meat.
Okay.
That had no juice.
Very dry patty?
I thought so.
Yeah.
And
I've never tasted one.
You know what I had? Last week I had, this is funny, okay, I had a McLean because I was watching my weight, but I didn't give up McDonald's. I just got a McDLT. And then... That was the same time New Coke came out. So I had a McDLT and a New Coke at the same time. I had no idea I was making history in that moment in my Honda Civic heading out to do stand-up at some awful one-night gig. But, yeah, that was crazy. And last week was like the anniversary of New Coke, which was awful. So it's also Jay Leno's birthday was yesterday. But before we get to that, you know what? Let's save Leno. Let's save a little. Let's pace ourselves regarding comedy because it's going to be a long show and I got some good guests. I will say, driving down here today from the Marinette area where I live, what do you think of, Luke, when you think of the Subaru?
Reliable.
Yeah. Safe, right?
Yeah.
Do you equate it with any particular political party?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just growing up, you know, there's a certain demographic that I'm aware of that may be oversampled in the Subaru ownership. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know the stereotype of the joke.
But it exists. Yeah.
Yes. But it's funny because one of my friends who works in construction, very, very big, tough guy, like he's a manly man. Okay. He drives a Subaru. My mom also drives a Subaru.
Right.
So I don't necessarily buy into that stereotype.
I don't either.
Okay.
Somebody created that probably as a way to frame an issue or whatever. I got cut off twice today on my drive down here by Subarus. So my opinion of Subaru drivers has totally changed. And I, you know, I try never to escalate when I drive. I don't want to flip anybody off. I don't want to, because if someone's cutting you off or flipping you off, I always feel like in this day and age, they've got a screw loose. Like when I was younger, I'd flip a guy off, not thinking, assuming he didn't have a gun or she, maybe. But now I do not mess around. I just say, thank you. Thank you for flipping me off. And I try to, I try not to escalate, even though I want to get the guy in a headlock and wail on him. But two Subarus.
Two
I didn't even know
Subarus.
What to make of that.
Two different. Was it the same Subaru?
No, no, no.
It was two
separate Subarus. Subarus.
So you didn't get cut off by the same one twice. Just
no.
Okay.
That would be diabolical.
See, I think anybody that's cutting anybody off these days is just having a real bad day. And I just try to think of that. I'm like, you're having a real bad day and you're taking it out on me on the road. As long as everybody walks away from the incident, all right.
But you're not excusing the bad day and the cutting of
them. No. Okay. I just try to be, I try to think of where they're at and why they're doing it. It's my thing.
You're a good guy. You're a much better guy than Conrad. I got to be honest. Conrad is just nefarious. He's always out to second
guess
me.
He's crying behind the wheel of his Subaru, cutting people off because he's had a bad day because his Phoenix Suns got eliminated from the playoffs.
He saw me driving here and he said, that looks like Schwabba. Move! All right. When we come back, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
I believe in miracles.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday.
You sick thing, you.
Frank and I, Frank Hermans is here. We were just talking about the Spinners, and I said that I told Frank.
That was a funny story, man.
I honestly, God, that song, Conrad, it's called Games People Play.
Yeah.
That guy's voice, I thought it was a woman. I'm like, love this woman.
Same.
I'm going to leave my wife and marry this person because I love her voice so much. And I find out it's a guy with a curly Q mustache. Yeah. I still love him. Yeah, his voice is like,
it's so
gorgeous. It's incredible.
I know. It's hard to imitate that voice. It's so good.
So we got a text here from, is this a new text or Conrad James from Madison?
Oh,
yeah. I think the, no, that's a good thing. For
is it okay?
I said, uh-oh. We're not in trouble here, Frank. Okay. He thinks he's going to take his liquor license from the Meyer Theaters. He says, hi, I think that the drinking age should be 18. Yeah. I'm from England. Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. And the drinking age there is 18 and it works quite well.
It does.
And he says, yes, I am James from Madison. James, great to have you. Thanks for the text. He continues and says, also a ton of underage kids getting into bars and drinking. So why don't we just lower the age limit and encourage more than bars instead of home or elsewhere? Aren't you safer though if you drink at home?
Are you?
Well,
yes. I think a bar, first of all, you're social, you're moving around and you're getting that liquor out of your system. When you're at home, maybe you're watching TV. Depression might set in.
Sitting there.
I got to tell you, alcohol is not a stimulant.
No, it's not.
You know, and it can cause, what it does, it amplifies whatever your mood is.
You're feeling.
Whatever you're feeling at that time. And it can be good, it can be bad, you know, and that's.
I got to be honest, I have not quit drinking forever, Frank, but I haven't had a drink in about 17 months.
Yeah.
And it was either that or during the military. So I said, all right, I'll stop my age and I don't want to be doing basic. No, but I feel great. Like I miss having a martini once in a while or an old fashioned, but
well, liquor is poison. You know,
it is.
It's actually poison.
You drink?
Not that often.
Yeah, you don't seem like
you know what we could do? We should do a show and drink the whole time. I would do that.
Oh, wow.
Just for the heck of it.
Conrad memo.
Memo.
Can we do that?
Can we
get
like a sponsor, like some scotch or somebody? There you go.
Monaco Brewing. Maybe we'll talk to Kirk. Maybe he'll do something like that.
I'll drink 7 Biden beers in 2 hours.
And we'll track it like it's a science experiment. Yes. That's how we couch it, right?
And how many slurs happen. It's, you know, I'm not a big drinker. Never have been.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of our culture.
Right.
You know, I got to tell you, when I was in a band back in the 80s and 90s, I was putting it back. You know, I was doing Cuervo on stage and, you know, doing some things. I thought it made me better, you know, cut down the fear. I can't have a drink before I do a show now. I need to be 100% focused.
Right.
You know,
I do a football fundraiser for a Marinette local youth football club. Yep. And I was doing that. When we moved back here, I started doing it. They said, hey, can you bring comics? So once a year, I bring a good friend of mine up and we get to hang out and stand up together. That's the only time I go on stage anymore to do stand-up comedy. It was once a year.
Okay.
I would have a big old drink before.
Calm me down.
Because I would do 2-3 sips. That's not going to affect my act. But I was nervous, like, because I wasn't on stage performing. Like, you're in a groove, man. You put up 8 shows a year.
Yeah.
You don't need that. That's the last thing you can think about when you're like sitting around all year dreading one night where you have to go on stage. It's like, give me
a drink. If it was that, I could see that. Now, if I am feeling comfortable about something, if I'm comfortable in a show, because I got to tell you, there's a lot to remember. And, if you're not sharp and you screw up a line and it's an intro for somebody else or somebody else has to react to it, you don't want to do that. You know? And I've done it. I've done it before. And then we just improv it off. But the whole thing is you want to stay sharp. Now, if I'm comfortable, like if I'm doing an Elvis show, and when we're in Vegas, we did a couple shows in Vegas, I was feeling pretty comfortable.
You must crush in Vegas.
You know what? We did okay. We did all right. We play the Plaza Casino and we're going back there in March next year. It's okay. I don't know if I'd want to live there.
Yeah.
I've been to Vegas, 30 times. Got married there. Got married by Elvis. Amy and I got married. We did the whole thing. But, now when I go to Vegas, you know what I do? I go find ghost towns. I don't gamble.
Ooh, nice.
I go to a few shows. I try and check shows. But I love ghost towns. And there are more ghost towns in Nevada than any other state because of the gold rush in the 1890s.
No
little
kidding.
Fact you did not know. Yes.
Oh, that's really cool.
Crazy stuff.
From the 715, Joe says 18 or 25 for a drinking age. Oh, okay. That's not bad. 25 is a little, no one's waiting until they're 25.
Well,
if you're going to drink, you're going to drink.
Yeah. Right? As men, we don't mature until we're in our 40s. So
I'm still working on it.
I used to work it out.
You're pretty mature though, Frank.
Am I?
You're more mature than me.
I don't know.
What do you think, Conrad? Who's more mature?
Oh,
come on, Conrad.
Nervous laughter.
Oh. Myself.
You're so, there. Thank you.
Conrad. Wow, that's winner. Not crazy here.
Winner.
From the 262, while I enjoy having Don Rosen back on the air at WRJN.
Well, did you just read the rest of this one? Yeah, I did.
You got to tell me not to read this.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Just
avoid that one. I don't know who this guy is, but
okay.
I think we're going to have a throwdown.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I didn't read the whole text. I'm not going.
You know, as a performer, you got a thick skin just like that, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, back 25 years ago, if somebody didn't like me, I'd go out and talk to them. Why don't you like me?
Oh, wow.
It just happens. And because I want to know. What did I do to offend you? Everybody's not going to like you. No matter what, no matter how nice you are, no matter how good you are, what you do for your community, you might just
not be someone's cup of tea.
Exactly.
Or you can be the most, there are people that didn't like Sinatra. Really?
Okay. Come on. There's people that don't like Elvis.
Yeah.
There are.
As a martial artist?
As a martial artist.
As a singer?
Both.
Hey, speaking of, let's sing something.
You want a song?
When I say let's, I mean you.
Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
What are you going to do something from the show or just?
I'm going to do some Elvis.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I got to do a little Elvis because we're talking about. See if you remember this one. It's from
Frank
Kissing
Hermans.
Cousins.
Oh, nice.
A very old friend came by today. And he was telling everyone in town of the love that he had found. And Marie's his name, of his latest flame. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the prettiest blackest hair, prettiest green eyes anywhere. And Marie's the name of his latest flame. And though I smiled, the tears inside were a burden. I
wished him luck and then he said goodbye. He was gone, but still my head kept a-turning. What else was there for me to do but cry? Would you believe that yesterday that girl was in my arms and swore to me she'd be mine eternally? Anne-Marie's the name of his latest fame. Anne-Marie's the name of his latest flame.
You know, those songs were like 2 minutes long.
I love it.
Back in the day, 2 minutes, baby.
It's like a polka song.
It kind of is. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of guitar is it?
This is an Epiphone. It's a ripoff of a Gibson. I would love to have the Gibson Elvis guitar. This is the big wide body that he would use, the white guitar. And so this is the kind of the Elvis guitar. Look how beat up it is. I've dropped it a few times.
That's but gritty. I love a beat
gritty
up guitar.
Lots of this guitar cost me $550 like 20 years ago, and I beat the crap out of it. Is that my wife behind us?
I think it is.
She want to let her in?
I think Amy.
Yeah, Amy's here. Yeah, she didn't text me. Oh, good. She's here. Maybe we can have her sing a song too.
Can you guys do something like as Elvis and Reba? What do you like to sing with
her?
How
about we do? You know what we can do? Let's do a little Johnny and June Cash.
Oh my God.
Would you like that?
Love it. Yes.
She'll come in right now. We'll hang on. Honey, come on. Let's sing. How'd rehearsal go, honey?
Hi, Amy. Hi. How do you do? Nice to meet you.
My wife, Amy Reamer from Girls on Thin Ice. By the way, my wife, Amy, she plays the drunk in the Girls on Thin Ice. She is the party girl.
Okay,
party girl. Is that what you're going to say, party girl? Okay.
Drunk.
I shouldn't say that.
Do you want some water or something, Amy?
Dude, I'm good.
How about a milkshake?
I'm good.
How about some lamb chops?
We got it all here.
We got a kitchen. Conrad, lamb chops.
Sounds good.
Conrad is that good. He would do it. He could find it.
As soon as I got here, moxie. Conrad goes, water? Would you like water? Yes, I would. Would you like M&M's?
That's what...
Did you take the green ones?
We want to make you guys feel at home. So, Amy, how was rehearsal? It's Girls on Thin Ice. How did it go tonight?
It went really well. Every night, we're pretty good. You know, we've done the show before, and everybody is just so good at preparing, and they do homework. They rehearse on their own, practicing their songs, and we sent videos of all the dances, and everybody's practicing on their own. So when we get together, we're pretty much just kind of putting the polish on it.
That's so great.
And memorizing.
What a great feeling, right? When you're in the home stretch.
Mm-hmm. It feels great.
The show is Girls on Thin Ice, and it starts May 8th at the Meyer Backstage Theater, and it runs May 8th through May 11th, folks. So if you're listening and you want to see... I can't imagine someone has not seen a Let Me Be Frank production.
There still are people in this area.
Probably.
Yeah, we get
definitely
I
check
ask
it
every,
out.
Every time, how many new first timers Let Me Be Franks? And they'll raise their hand. And I always ask, where are you from? Oh, we're from Green Bay. I go, East Side or West Side?
But you must get a lot of people that come in from smaller communities too, I would imagine. I think my folks have been down numerous times.
We have season ticket holders in Manistique, Michigan and Rockford, Illinois.
Wow.
So, we got, and all the way out west to Eau Claire, all the way to the east coast of Kewaunee. So,
where's Kewaunee?
I have no idea.
Isn't that where? You're from Kewaskum.
Yeah. Kewaskum, Kewaunee.
Yeah. Close enough.
They're Algonquin names.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Thank you.
The Algonquins probably love a little.
If you say things correctly.
So 150 performances you guys have had. You've done 149 shows?
146 shows we've written in the last 25 years.
Wow.
And if you really, now we do 80 performances a year at the Meyer, plus about another 60 offsite at other places. So basically, we have, if you just multiply 160 times 25, that's a lot of shows.
That's a lot of shows.
We got to support 7 children, so.
So there's more shows to come.
Well, even the adult ones need support.
Yes.
So do you guys want to sing something?
Sure.
We have, we got a few minutes.
Let's do it.
Let's put something together. This is Frank and Amy.
You'll know this one.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. Hello, Jackson Town.
We'll go on down to Jackson. Go ahead and wreck your hill.
Ha ha!
Go play.
Jackson.
Close. See if I care.
When I drive into that city, people gonna stoop and bow. All them women gonna teach me, teach them what they don't know how. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson. That's a fact. Oh, my coat, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson.
Wow, you prepared for this. Goodbye, that's all she wrote.
Sing it, baby.
The laugh at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony cake. Yee-haw! They'll lead you around town like the scolded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Yeah, go to Jackson, you big talking man.
That's me.
Fever hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
Woo! That's Frank and Amy.
I didn't remember that song. That was too much, did I?
Really?
Did I know?
I didn't notice.
Shut up.
Okay. So that's Johnny Cash
and June Cash.
And June Cash. Yeah. And it sounded like right out of the Coen Brothers movie.
Totally.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Oh, yes. Great. Do you hear Alison Krauss comparisons ever, Amy, to your voice?
I have not heard that. I've sung many of her songs, like for weddings and stuff like that, but I have never had a comparison.
I'm speechless. I'm without speech. And without I'm talking.
That's so one thing about Amy, she has a very flexible voice and can impersonate many, many different people. From Reba.
Which comes in handy with your shows, I'm sure.
It does.
Oh, yeah, we sing all different kinds of songs.
All right, Frank and Amy are here. We have a few more minutes with them coming up next. Maybe they'll sing something. Maybe we'll do an Elvis quiz, but the singing's more fun, actually. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me. Welcome back. Bridget from the 818 says, this is in reference to our drinking age question. What do you think the drinking age should be? She says 23 or 24.
Wow.
Keep drinking out of high school and college. People associate drinking in college. Why? College offers so many opportunities. Why waste it? Probably because of Animal House, right?
Exactly.
John Belushi. That's why people, I mean, I don't know. That's really the first time you go party.
Yeah.
When you leave home.
It's because you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
When you take something away, the first thing you want to do as a kid is do it.
Right.
And if with our kids, we're not letting them drink, but if you offer suggestions, if you take something away, if you want to experiment and, you know, do theater or do something, let's try that. You know?
Right.
I'm not going to shy you away from something.
We steer them towards positivity.
Yes.
Exactly.
No, that's positivity. Great. Yeah.
And I always say, like, when my kids were going out into the world, I know they didn't drink in high school, and I said, I want you, if you plan on drinking in college, I'd like you to have a drink at home first. See how it affects you. Have a beer, have a glass of wine. And, you know, my son is like, I don't think he drank till he was like a junior. I didn't even drink till I was a freshman in college, like spring of that year. So I was,
Wow, dude. I think I was in seventh grade. I kid you not. Yeah.
Well, my drinking age was 18.
Yeah. My mom, my dad.
You weren't 18 in seventh grade.
My dad would bring us to the bar and, get us a Kit Kat, and he'd sit there and drink beer, and we'd play pool. This happened four times
a
week.
That is such a Wisconsin story.
Totally.
I love that.
I'd eat eight Snicker bars. I don't even know.
But, so you had a sugar buzz going.
But then after a while, my brother Mike and I go, hey, we should try one. Yeah. And then we'd have beer with my dad.
Did you sneak him?
No.
Or he would just give it to you?
Give us beer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Different time.
And you turned out okay.
Did I?
Well,
yes,
I
should ask Amy.
Define okay.
You know what you learn? You learn how much. You learn not to. You learn to handle yourself. And that's one of the things. And that's what happens in college. Sometimes you do too much and bad things happen.
And you're right. You do learn how to handle it. And I'll be honest. I am hammered right now. And I don't think either one of you have any idea
how much I put away. I thought that was your aftershave.
Conrad stoned out of his mind. Yeah, yeah,
whoa. This is like, you took a ride to Menominee, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Guys, baby.
Should we, Conrad, this is your jukebox, buddy. What do you say? Should we do another song or let's save
give
the
Elvis? Give me some
quiz.
Elvis. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean,
let's do it.
Yeah. All right, let's do a couple minutes of Elvis.
Yeah.
Then we'll close it out with a song.
We can play any song anytime.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's... So I got like 10 seconds of songs. You just name the title of it.
Okay.
Get ready with the
ready,
bell,
honey?
Too.
Here we go.
You're a tear snatcher. You're a quarterback.
What is this?
Yes!
Break my heart anymore.
Tear snatcher.
For I have just
no.
Oh! I have never heard that song in my life.
Ooh.
Did that make the top 40?
Went into the vault for that one.
That was like 1956.
Wow.
He sounds very young.
Yeah, very young.
It's called You're a Heartbreaker.
You're a Heartbreaker. Oh. See, that's where I was going.
I like the song.
Cool song. Yeah.
All right, let's do another one.
Oh, Caught in a Trap. Come on. I can name that in three
Suspicious
notes.
Suspicious Minds like is actually songs the title ever. Of the
it
song.
Is Suspicious Minds.
Caught in the Trap is
whatever.
One of the lyrics.
Thanks, you're over
it's called Caught in a Suspicious Minds. Sorry.
Get thanks, it right.
All right, do another one.
Yeah.
I gave a letter to
Return to Center.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Shut it.
Frank Kermes is just getting
I'm
it.
Kidding,
he's
honey.
Just
I'm totally
rolling
kidding.
Now.
He's calling you out.
I know.
He's got
thanks,
momentum.
Babe. Yeah, I'm
keeping you honest.
Yeah. And they're arguing. I'm trying to ignore it. It's awkward in the studio. Quickly, Conrad, get to another song.
I think it's so lonely, baby. I think it's so lonely.
I could die.
It's so lonely.
Come on, honey.
Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah. See, I had to give her one.
It's a good thing you showed up tonight,
thank
baby.
You
come on, honey.
Throwing me a bone.
You know this one. Come on.
All right. He's two. It's two to two, right? He's
two,
missed two and got two.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. You got to go out on a winning note, though. Then we'll play. All right. Go ahead,
one.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Burning love. She mouthed it to me. Did you see that?
Did you see it?
I wasn't
going to say anything, though.
You're just not good at names.
I've never been good at names or
songs.
Right or left.
But is it Hunka Hunka Burning Love or is it just Burning Love?
Just Burning Love.
Yeah, just Burning Love, yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of the greatest songs
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
Let's do one
you
more.
You should learn that one sometime.
Okay. Shh, I do that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The belt kind of ruined it. That's one thing I think Elvis
you
was lacking.
You ain't the Hound Dog. I'm sorry.
Hound Dog.
Hound Dog. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Same song.
Jailhouse Rock, Hound Dog. Exactly the same
this
song.
This is so great. Having you guys here,
oh
this is
my
fun.
God. Oh, thank you.
I'm glad Amy still feels like talking to you because you just came from what I'm guessing was a pretty intense dress rehearsal. Are you in dress rehearsals yet?
No, this is actually our
May
1st. Third,
oh, you got a week.
Third rehearsal.
Yeah, we dress rehearsals on Tuesday night. Yeah,
next week.
Tuesday.
So you open on a Tuesday.
We open on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But we have a group of folks that come see us for every dress rehearsal. They pay a half the fee, and so we can see if we make them laugh. If we make them laugh, we know we're okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the show is Girls on Thin Ice.
Yep.
It's at the Meyer Backstage Theater. Where can people get tickets?
MeyerTheater.org.
Okay.
You go online, or they can call TicketStar 920-494-3401 if they want to talk to somebody.
And it's only 3 days. It's May 8th through the 11th.
4 days. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Two shows on Saturday.
I forgot
we
you're
have
drinking.
A matinee on Saturday.
I forgot
you're drinking. Oh, yeah. We have to take that into account.
Hey, it makes Minocqua my drive. Brewery. He loves Minocqua Brewery, honey.
They're a sponsor.
He's going to go and...
We put our name on a can in the Madison Tap Room. We sent them money to put our name on a can. Yeah.
The one that just opened.
The one
that's
just opened,
next Tuesday. We're
look
doing our
name.
Show from there.
I definitely
will.
My Fair Maps t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet Kirk loved that. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
I get his emails. Yep.
Yeah, he sends those emails. Mm-hmm. Like the time he puts into those. It's like a screenplay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, 25th season, 146 shows. If you haven't seen it, check out Girls on Thin Ice. It's opening next Wednesday night. You won't regret it. Frank Kermes. Amy, so great to have you guys here. You want to play us out?
Oh, let me grab my guitar. Hey, let's do
thank you to all my guests. Thank you to Tim Sowers. Thanks for all your texts. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. And this is Frank Kermes and Amy in studio. Closing out the show.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this salvation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less spark. A little more bite, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your eyes. So baby, satisfy me.
Satisfy me.
Satisfy me, baby.
Satisfy me.
Come along with me and listen to the music. I drift into a summer breeze. It's a groovy night, I can show you how to use it. Come along with me and put your mind at ease, yeah. Little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this segregation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less spark. A little more fight, a little more bark. Close your mouth and open up your eyes. So baby, satisfy me.
Satisfy me.
Satisfy me, baby.
Satisfy me.
Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start.
Frank and Amy.